And welcome back to Coast. Jim Marrs with us. Lots more to talk with Jim about. We're going to take calls in about 30 minutes with him right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. George Norrie with you and our dear friend Jim Marrs. Jim, what did you see many years ago to come up with your thoughts? Yeah, because I've always believed they wanted population control too. But what did you see?
Well, again, it's connecting the dots. You know, you can look at almost any issue, whether it's bad food, bad air, bad water, you know, and you can always make rationales and arguments about, well, maybe they just don't understand. In fact, I guess the one that I fell for a long time was that, well, it's just corporate greed. Corporate greed, you know, and they're just not thinking ahead. They're not thinking about the ramifications of what they're doing. But, hey, these people are not stupid. They know all this. And by the way, I want to point out that my subtitle is How Corporate Owners Are Killing Us. I don't want people to think that every corporation, most corporations are filled with good, honest, hardworking people, and even some of the officers, presidents, vice presidents and stuff. These aren't terrible people that want us dead.
Family-loving people.
Yeah, and, you know, they got Harvard business degrees. They're able administrators, okay?
Yes.
And they have been carefully taught to conserve and to expand the bottom line, you know, and keep the business running efficiently and profitably. And a lot of them are very brilliant. A lot of them do that. But I might also point out that there's been, I don't know, something like 400 or 500 top corporate officials,
Tommy,
who have all resigned or left or retired or took early retirement just as the first of this year. And that kind of worries me because it's like, what do they know that we don't know? But I'll tell you another thing, because I noticed during the commercial break that you had a discussion about autism. Let me tell you something. They want to know where it comes from. Okay, 95% of all soybeans in the United States and 80% of all corn. Now think about corn. That's, you know, corn meal, corn syrup, you know, corn.
Well, my producer Tom Jim was looking at some of this too on your website, the work you've done, and he said, this is frightening that this is going on.
Well, it is. Here's what's frightening to me. There is a MIT research scientist named Dr. Stephanie Seneff who has found a, quote, remarkably consistent correlation between the use of Roundup, which is Monsanto's herbicide that contains glyphosate. And she's found a remarkably consistent correlation between the use of this glyphosate on soy, corn, and wheat crops and the rising rates of autism. In fact, she says that at today's rate, by 2025, 1 in 2 children will be autistic. In other words, half the children will be autistic. And she said, in my view, the situation is almost beyond repair. We need to do something drastic. Do something drastic. We can't even get them to pass labeling to let us know whether we're getting this GMO products that they use herbicide Roundup on. We can't even get the labeling, much less get an independent, objective study. All the studies on the safety of GMO and on the safety of Roundup has been done by Monsanto or other chemical companies that are the makers of it. You know, are they really going to tell on themselves? Apparently not. But where I go that extra step, George, and I think this is what you were asking me, is that I think anyone who's studied the subjects and who really looks at the facts and the statistics realizes that, yes, I'm telling the truth. Corporations are doing things that are not in our best interest, and basically they're killing us. Okay, but I go that extra step. This is not a mistake. This is not corporate greed. This is a longstanding plan of eugenics to cull the world's population.
Well, it could very well be. And with all these steps and points that we've talked about, Jim, it's kind of frightening. It really is. Is there any one area that stands out the most for you?
Yeah, I think it's GMOs. Because, you know, all through history, we've bred animals and people to, you know, unconsciously. But we've taken plants and you can cut and make make hybrid plants and everything, but it's always been within the same species, okay? What they're doing with GMOs are changing up the DNA of different species, and I realize there's a true controversy in there, and that a lot of that's not absolutely clear cut, and that I'm sure there's people who can come up with a pro-GMO argument. But I think the bald-faced fact is that it is such a new development that we really do not know what the long-term effects of genetically modified organisms is going to be doing to us.
Jim, with the things that you've covered over the years, I mean, you've talked about the Kennedy assassination, the Fourth Reich, you've talked about the Federal Reserve, you've talked about the alien agenda. How serious would you put this in the scheme of things?
Well, I think it's very, very damn serious, and I think that we're getting close to a tipping point to where I think almost everybody is going to realize that something unorthodox, unconventional. I think life's going to take a turn, and we're all going to realize that it's not going to be the same. We got a little taste of that after September the 11th, 2001, with the 9/11 attacks. And I think anyone who was actually thinking clearly said, you know, it's just not going to be the same after this, but that's just a bump in the road compared to what I think is coming up, whether it's natural, whether it's geophysical, or whether it's whether it's a false flag operation. Something is in the works, and I think that I'm sure you've had programs dealing with this Jade Helm 15.
Just going to ask you about that. Yes,
yeah.
We have.
Well, all right, let me tell you about this. Here's what really gets me is that there's a lot of argument. I was in the Army, okay? And I know they're always working on contingency plans, and some of them are far out. But, hey, you know, they wouldn't be doing their job of protection if they didn't try to think of every possible scenario and then, you know, plan on how they would deal with it. So the idea that they're just practicing for stuff, even internal strife, I don't think that's that much out of the ordinary. But what gets me is if you will call up the Jade Helm 15 logo, you will find it says mastering the human domain. Well, wait a minute. What's the human domain? That means everything that has to do with us humans, and they want to master it. That kind of sounds ominous. But then, okay, maybe that's just, you know, one of these governmental, you know, slogans. And then you've got the crossed arrows, which traditionally represented air power, okay? And that's superimposed over a sword, which traditionally has meant ground power. But then look right in the center of that, and there's a little image there. It almost looks like a blob that somebody dropped white out on or something. But if you look really close, it's a wooden shoe, like the Dutch wear.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wooden shoe. Now, what's that got to do with anything? Well, the thing, because I wrote the book Rise of the Fourth Reich, and because I'm very, very familiar with Hitler, Nazi Germany, the Third Reich, the thing that struck me right off was the Nazis, when they put people in concentration camps, they put them in striped pajamas, and they gave them wooden shoes to wear. Why? Well, because, number one, if you got those big old wooden shoes on, you can't run very fast, and you can't get away. And number two, the Nazis would make them wear these wooden shoes, but they wouldn't give them any socks. And as a result, their feet would get irritated and get infected, and the prisoners would die off quicker. Now, why would they put a concentration camp symbol like the wooden shoe on the logo for this military exercise in 2015 that covers all of the all these Western states?
You know, Jim, it is remarkable. It is frightening with what's happening, but it seems to be happening very, very fast. Why?
Exactly. Well, because it almost seems like that we're on a time frame. Something is coming up, and like I said, there's so many possibilities. I mean, everything from an asteroid hit to the explosion of the Yellowstone caldera to who knows what. Here in Texas, there's a lot of concern because they have found ISIS camps within striking distance of the United States over in Mexico. There have been border skirmishes. A helicopter was fired on, and they won't even tell us whether it was fired on the United States side or the Mexican side. But there's lots of tension down here along the southern border, and nothing seems to be being done about it, okay? In fact, I had a very good friend whose daughter worked for the Border Patrol, and she finally just resigned because she said they are not doing the job
no.
that they're supposed to be doing.
No.
So
it's
we got that. We got an election year coming up. We got this racial problem going on that shouldn't even be there. I mean, there's probably been hadn't been a time when there's more opportunity for people of all ethnic groups here in the United States, and most people, when few holdouts, but there's most people understand that that race is not should not be an issue.
There's a strange undertone of hate, Jim, out there.
Yep.
I don't know where it's coming from, but it's there.
Well, people are upset and people are afraid, and when they get afraid, then they get ugly and they get hateful and they get dangerous. Okay. And that's another thing. But who's responsible for all this hate? Think about World War II. The Nazis definitely were ready, willing, and able to try to invade the United States. They had a three-stage rocket that they called the New York rocket. They were ready to go. The Japanese imperialists, they attacked Pearl Harbor, and there was a lot of people on the Japanese general staff that wanted to follow it up with an invasion of the West Coast. And believe it or not, I think it was Yamamoto, one of the planners of Pearl Harbor, said, no, we better not do that. He said, they've got guns. He said, there would be a gun behind every blade of grass. And he said, we just better not do that. And that's another thing, the fact that we have the largest percentage of private gun ownerships in the world is the only thing I think that's kept us this free this long.
Well, I think you're right, yet they want to take that away.
Exactly, and they're working hard at it. And again, because, okay, and so, wait a minute, back to World War II. So here we really had a threat, an outside threat. And what did the president, Franklin Roosevelt, what did he say? He said, let's stay calm. We have nothing to fear but fear itself. Let's just all pitch in as Americans, and we'll get the job done. And by golly, they did. Okay, today all we hear is terrorist alert, another terrorist attack. Oh, watch out! You know, it's alert orange today. You go to the airports, public places. You know, watch your handbags. You know, be prepared to turn over all your.
I was right in the break. You don't like to fly, do you?
Well, no, not the way not the way it is now. I used to love to fly, you know, but that was when you could show up at the airport about 10 minutes before your flight and just kind of run through there, jump on a plane, settle down. It takes off. A good-looking stewardess would come by, give you a free drink, even give you a meal if it was a long flight.
It's not free anymore, Jim.
No, you know, in fact, now they're charging to check your bag.
That's going to start. And they want to reduce the size of the carry-on so you have to check it or pay $25.
Right, and you can't take your scissors, you can't take your bottle of hair cream, you can hardly take anything. And if you've noticed, that airports used to be a place of transportation. You went there and you caught a plane. Now they're like shopping malls, you know, because you're going to have to hang around the airport a couple of hours because of the security measures. And the TSA, they come grope you, they make you go through those radiation machines, everything else. And how many terrorists have they actually caught? None.
Not a lot.
None.
That we know of.
Zip. Nada. Nix. Nothing. It's incredible. And yet, if you try to mouth off it a little bit and use, exercise your First Amendment rights, then you really grab you. And if you're lucky, you'll just miss your flight, you know? I mean, and all I want to do is shake them and say, read my lips. Young Arab males. That's who you're looking for.
Let me ask you the why here. Let's assume all these things are correct.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah.
They want to drop viruses on us. They want us obese. They want GMO foods. They want chemtrails. They want all this on us. Fluoride in the water. Of course, they're doing all this stuff.
Right.
But what's the why? What do they want?
Well,
I mean, beyond reducing the population, I mean, why do they want to do this?
Because they want to take over this whole planet.
They have it anyway, don't they?
No, there's too many of us, they think. You know, and the thing is, see, they tried with the Nazis. They tried a very regimented and pretty open and above board movement to try to just get rid of a lot of people they didn't like. And of course, if they had made it work with the Jews and the Gypsies and the Freemasons and everybody else that they were putting in those camps, then it wouldn't have been long before they were culling everybody right on up to the top. But then people kind of woke up to that, and we had a world war. And so now they're having to play it a little more cozy. In fact, actually, it's a pretty brilliant thing they're doing, because by giving us bad food, bad air, bad water, they are culling the population. The death rate of the very young, the very old, the sickly, you know, they're leaving, and then the rest of us are getting sick, and we're having to buy more pharmaceuticals that they control. And we have to have, we're getting more and more medical, have to go more and more into the medical system, which, as I pointed out, is the third leading cause of death in the United States. And I don't know. If I tell you, George, that the leading cause of death in the United States today is heart disease, heart attack.
Sure.
Okay? That, you got that right.
Yep.
No argument there.
Yeah, that's easy.
Okay. The second cause of death is cancer. You wouldn't argue about that, would you?
Nope.
You know what the third cause of death, the leading cause of death in the United States is? Conventional medical treatment.
You like mishaps and bad prescriptions and things like that?
According to an article in the American Medical Association, JAMA, we've got 12,000 deaths yearly from unnecessary surgeries, 7,000 deaths from medication errors in hospitals, 20,000 deaths from other errors in hospitals, 80,000 deaths from infections acquired in hospitals, and another 106,000 deaths attributed to FDA-approved and correctly prescribed medicines, okay? So that's about 250,000 people, you know, and that die per year simply because of our medical system, and that number does not include illegal drug use or inappropriate use of legal prescription drugs. Is that amazing or what?
How do we get out of this, Jim? How do we pull out of this?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Come next year, you don't vote for a Bush or a Clinton. I mean, those people put us in this position to begin with. What's wrong with people?
Jim Marr's with us. His website, of course, his name, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. We're talking about his latest work, Population Control, but the subtitle, How Corporate Owners Are Killing Us. And as he said, not all of them at all. And this is a worldwide situation, Jim. This is not just the U.S. trying to pull this off.
No, it's happening everywhere. And you have the same things going on. They've already managed to take the guns away from the Australians and the Britishers. You know, they're working hard here. You know, and yes, the GMO, there's a fight going all around the world. In fact, it's really amazing, but last month in May, there was a march against Monsanto held in 38 separate countries involving 428 cities protesting Monsanto. And this was after the World Health Organization found that glyphosate, which we've already mentioned that it's a key ingredient of Monsanto's Roundup herbicide, is, quote, a probable human carcinogen. In other words, it causes cancer. And so you had this huge worldwide march against Monsanto, and I'll bet you most of your listeners probably didn't even know about this, because it gets no coverage in the corporate control.
Well, we did know that France wants it out.
Yes, and Russia has outlawed it, okay? But see, over here, we can't even get a label.
No, you can't even talk about it.
They got a label, what is and what's not.
All right, Jim, we're going to come back and take phone calls with you. Lots of folks have been calling all night long. We're going to give them an opportunity to chat with you about the latest work, Population Control, right here on Coast to Coast AM. We will take your phone calls now with Jim Marrs as we talk about Population Control right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back, Jim Marrs with us, Population Control. How's the book being received, Jim?
Well, it actually does not even go on sale until Tuesday.
Wow, we're ahead of the game.
Yeah. In fact, I tried to talk to some of your people and say it won't be out till Tuesday. I said, let's do this a little later. And they said, no, we're going to get to jump on it. So you
by aggressive staff.
Yeah, but there's already been some pretty favorable reviews, and there's been a lot of interest apparently on Amazon. It'll be available in all the bookstores, Amazon, and of course my website, jimmars.com. That's Mars with two R's.
Do you ever look over your shoulder?
Constantly.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't look. I'm not looking for assassins. I'm just looking for bad drivers.
Well, they're both out there, Jim.
That's true.
Got to be
no,
careful.
No, I have had people in pretty powerful positions that kind of give me hints. You know, like maybe you shouldn't write about the Kennedy assassination, and maybe you shouldn't write about some of this stuff. And you know, I know one time when this lawyer told me, you're upsetting people at the petroleum club. And I thought, oh, gee, isn't that too bad?
You're ruining their lunches, Jim.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, you know, when I went to journalism school back in the days of the old Republic, we were actually taught to look past the official government pronouncements and look past the corporate press handouts, try to find out the truth and tell people that. And George, fool that I was, I really bought into it. I thought that's what I was supposed to be doing.
We all did. You know, this program opened up my eyes about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
When I started having our old friend Alex Jones on.
Yeah.
And, you know, people started saying, you know, this is not the way you think it is. And,
You know, speaking of Alex, he kind of turned me off early on because, you know, shouting through his bullhorn and everything. Man, you know, no, that's not the way to win friends and influence people. Until I finally came to the realization that he has never claimed to be a journalist, an impartial, objective journalist.
Mm-hmm.
He's an activist, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And once I got over that hurdle, then my only question was that I don't necessarily agree with the way he does things, but, hey, is he telling the truth? And, yep.
And everything he does, Jim, is based on articles, published
yep.
articles. He would quote you, for example.
Yep.
You know, he would say, look, these aren't my views. Jim Marr said this.
Right.
And you know, people started waking up to what he was doing. Let's go to the calls here as they line up now for you. Rob in New York City, welcome to the program. Rob, you're up with us. Go ahead.
Hi, Jim. Hi.
Howdy.
Howdy, Rob.
You guys were touching on earlier in the show regarding the climatic changes that seem to be changing throughout the world. I'm going to add another twist to it, and it's based on science, new science evidence, as well as from a biblical standpoint. The Creator created microorganisms that were called creeping things that creep upon the earth in Genesis. When he made the obvious creation, his creation, everything we see from the planetary systems, all the way, everything on the earth, including the wildlife, people, insects, everything was made with the use, the Creator used microorganisms to create the rest of his creation. And the way the wind blows, we see we feel the effects of the wind, but we don't see it blowing. He uses microbes to cause the wind to blow. He uses microbes that cause the amount of rain to fall on the earth. And science has just proven that there's bacteria in the raindrops. There's bacteria in the snowflakes that form the snowflakes. And what is going on right now is the microorganisms cannot do their job of keeping the earth synchronized, keeping the atmosphere synchronized. Just recently, they found that there was carbon dioxide in the universe based on space exploration and everything, and which means if you have a carbon dioxide byproduct, you have life in outer space. There's microbes in space. The Creator uses microbes to create the planets. So I think science needs to go in that direction in gathering their evidence. And so what's causing the microbes to die off or fight for their existence is basically the curses that come as a result from people doing things that create diseases with viruses. You have viruses that invade the bacteria, change the bacteria making the bacteria harmful bacteria. We have bacteria that was made by the Creator that had a benefit to mankind, and that has drastically changed. And right now, science needs to focus their direction on what's causing the bacteria to become harmful. And again, it's viruses. So what kind of viruses? Well, viruses that come from sexually transmitted diseases, where people engage in that activity, the byproduct of that activity gets into the atmosphere. And what I'm trying to say is, if people are engaged in activities that cause disease on a microscopic level, there's an effect on the microcosm. And science, again, needs to put their efforts in that direction, and they'll come up with solutions and answers and, as well as theories, but they need to focus in that direction, I think.
I think I agree with you. But what you're saying is that everything's interconnected. For example, when they develop a chemical to a herbicide, for example, that kills off certain plants and certain insect life, well, it ends up killing the bees. The bees pollinate the crops, and the bee colonies fall apart.
Oh, my God.
And then the food chain starts collapsing. And then, yeah, so it's all connected. And when we go too far afield with science, and unfortunately today, science, back last century and in the 1800s, we had people like Alexander Bell and Tom Edison, and these were not super scientists that came out of education and came out of institutions. They were just smart guys that went out in the garage and said, here's mm-hmm. a problem, let's solve it, let's do something about it.
Like Tesla.
Yeah, Tesla. But today, all the so-called scientists are trained, conditioned to be very specific and be very compartmentalized, and then the only place they really find adequate work is with the corporations, and they sign all these documents and contracts that says if they develop something, the corporation owns it, and they put them all to work on just certain specific things. So they develop, say, a very effective herbicide, but they're not studying to find out what the end result and the overall result of that is, and they're messing with the environment.
Jim, with the bird flu that has been killing off the birds and turkey population this year, is that something that you think was done on purpose or not?
I don't know. But I do know that they are working on these diseases. And it's just like the caller said, when you start messing with the microbes, you start messing with the viruses and the bacteria, then, you're really kind of messing with the fundamental building blocks of life, and that's where I think we're going to get in real trouble. I can't tell you if they're absolutely concocting those things, but I can tell you absolutely they're trying to, and they have in some instances.
Next up, we go to Jesse in Ringgold, Virginia. First-time caller for Jesse. Hi, Jess. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, George and Jim? Just got a quick question. Being a Christian, I'm a big studier of eschatology, which is end-time prophecy. And I have two questions, and they're unrelated, but they're related at the same time. One of them is this. With being a study of end-time prophecy, here lately, there's a lot of issues with the Pope, as a lot of people know, and it's saying the Pope is supposed to be going on a tour. It's supposed to be starting very soon, and I'm supposed to go for the next few months. And they say that two of his big things that he's going to be talking about, he's actually going to come to America, too. And that's a very unheard of. But two big things he's going to be talking about is a global world order, which is a one world government, and then depopulation. Those are two things that he's going to address in his tour. And when he comes to America, he's going to be addressing that very thing. So my one question is, how do you feel about that? And my other question, which is unrelated, but it all pertains to the corruption around us, is... you were earlier talking about when y'all first started talking about gun control, and there's been a lot of speculation since the incidents from last night. Some people have addressed going to the Facebook page of the killer and different things, and they seem to think that some things don't add up. I just wanted to get your opinion on that and tell me how you feel about that. And that's all I have.
All right, let's start with the Pope first, Jim.
Yeah, well, first about eschatology. You know, this is the end times. They've been talking about that ever since about 100 years after the time of Christ. So I think we have to be real careful because almost everyone up till now who says, okay, it's all going to come to the end on this date, and it never has quite happened. So I think we have to be kind of careful with that. But I will say this. I'm keeping my eye on Jerusalem because if the Dome of the Rock gets destroyed in a terrorist attack or a bombing or something, then I'm going to start looking for the bomb shelter.
Prophecy is underway.
That's right. Then I'll know that maybe all those prophecies are coming to fruition.
Now, let me ask you this, Jim. Why do so many people think whenever we have these horrid shootings by these sick individuals that they're all Manchurian candidates, that government is behind it?
Well, the basic reason for that, George, is that some of them are Manchurian candidates. Sirhan Sirhan, for example, a prison psychologist worked with him and found out that he was a victim of hypnotic programming.
Right. But I mean, this suspect kid, this 21-year-old in Charleston, I think he acted by
himself. And we know he's on drugs.
We know he's
a loner, and so he's a right candidate for mind control. And the problem with that is that we know they can do it, but how do you prove if they are doing it?
It is preposterous, one would think, right?
Well, it sounds preposterous, but you can go back to the control of Candy Jones, read about that. They've been able to control people through drugs and hypnosis and psychological conditioning going back into the 50s.
Well, see, of all the conspiracy theories out there, Kennedy, Marilyn Monroe, Princess Diana, 9/11, all of these, the one that I don't accept is, you know, these sickos who go into schools or malls or theaters and do what they do. Now, they may have been manipulated by things, right? They may have been weak people. And
well, that's it. It's plausible deniability. You just don't quite know. But I will say, for example, Timothy McVeigh, okay, who they claim was, you know, behind the bombing
with Terry Nichols.
Of the federal building. If you'll recall, he did some very, I mean, if he was smart enough to build a bomb out of fertilizer and then blow up half a federal building, but then he was driving around with no license plates, what's that all about? And when he's arrested, he doesn't find anybody. He gives up. And then, if you'll remember, initially he said, they put a chip in me, and they're talking to me, and they're giving me instructions. And, of course, everybody at that time read that and said, well, this guy's obviously just nuts.
Right.
Except now we know they do have these chips.
Where are these two killers that escaped in New York?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. Or the soldier cop out in Los Angeles,
yeah.
I guess it was. Remember that one?
Yeah.
So, yeah, these things do happen, but it's and it's perfect for people who want to utilize some programmed assassin like that because it is. It's beyond most people's understanding or belief system, and it's damn difficult to prove whether or not somebody is under the influence or if they've just wigged out.
We're going to take a few more calls, and then we're going to move on to another topic, which has to do with secret societies. Troy is in Palm Coast, Florida. Troy, you're on with Jim Mars on Coast to Coast. Go ahead.
Great. Yes. Thank you, Mr. Norris.
Sure thing.
Mr. Mars, I commend you for your exhaustive research on the topics that you've been discussing tonight, population control, et cetera.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Look, I got something really good for your listeners, Mr. Norris.
Okay.
And Mr. Mars. And it ties right into this population control and something else that Mr. Mars mentioned earlier. Okay, and it's just real brief here. Bear with me. It's called PSYOP and PSYWAR.
Okay.
All right, PSYOP for psychological operations and PSYWAR for psychological warfare. Here's just a brief definition. PSYOP and PSYWAR is simply learning everything about your target enemy, their beliefs, likes, dislikes, strengths, weaknesses, vulnerabilities. Once you know what motivates your target, you're ready to begin psychological operations. Psychological operation may be defined broadly as planned use of communications to influence human attitudes and behavior, to create and target groups' behavior, emotions, and attitudes that support the attainment of national objectives. The form of communication can be as simple as spreading information covertly by word of mouth or through any means of multimedia. Psychological warfare campaign is a war of the mind. Your primary weapons are sight and sound. PSYOP can be disseminated by face-to-face communication, audio-visual means, television, audio media, radio or loudspeaker, visual media, leaflet, newspapers, books, magazines, or posters, the internet, which is widely used today, social media. The weapon is not how it's sent, but the message it carries and how that message affects the recipient. You have just been blanked by PSYOPs because physical wounds heal. That's a quote from Major Ed Rouse, and the way this ties in is population control is not just to kill off X amount of people on the earth, sir. It is also to control them through their minds.
Well, they've been doing that, Jim Mars, haven't they?
That's exactly right. In fact, George, I take it even one step further. You know, I have written a book called Psy Spies, PSI Spies, about the psychic warfare program that the Pentagon had running up until about 1995. And that has to do with remote viewing, which they have proven works. And they have used their mind to go out and look at things. What they didn't want to talk about much is remote influencing. If they got a bunch of these remote viewers and they ganged up on an individual, they found they could influence his or her behavior. So, I mean, there's a lot of aspects of this, and the caller's absolutely right, and I'm glad he brought that up, because this isn't just about killing off people. This is about controlling, or as the Jade Helm motto says, mastering the human domain.
Jade Helm, that's going to be very interesting in a few more weeks, isn't it?
Yep. I think it's already underway.
Maybe secret.
And by the way, let me mention this, because I was telling people this back in the 90s and nobody listened to me, but this has the tie-in with the closing of the Walmart stores, and they're all along the southern rim of the United States, Florida, and I think there's one in Alabama maybe, and then Texas.
It is weird.
And what struck me is, for example, if the Yellowstone caldera was to erupt, it would cover ash over the northern part of the United States.
That's right.
But that's just a thought. But here's the main thing. When I was in the military...
Jim, we're not going to have the time, my friend. It's got us. We'll be back.